Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the host or any Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
Hello.
Hey, everybody. This is Michael Fox.
And Michael is coming to us from where?
St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, St. Louis, Missouri. You're too far away from me.
Yeah, I feel like it, too. I need to get back home.
Yeah, well, I'm Destiny Fox, and I'm in Carrollton, Georgia. And we have with us Jessica King. Where are you coming to us from tonight, Jessica?
Northeast Georgia, Habersham County.
Almost South Carolina.
Pretty close.
And we've got Kobe with us. Kobe is one of our team managers. And Kobe, you're coming to us from where?
Carrollton, Georgia.
Okay, we got two Carrollton, Georgias out of the bunch. So, Michael, how's things going in Missouri?
Well, I guess it's going okay. I mean, it's been a lot of work. I put in a lot of hours this week. But it's starting to storm outside right now. They got some bad weather moving in.
Well, I saw today a lot of tornadoes across Oklahoma.
Yeah, I saw that on the news, too.
Yeah, well, you just be safe if storms are moving in. So we're thinking about a topic all week long to discuss. And Michael came up with the idea, shadow people. We've done live streams off our Facebook page talking about shadow people before. And it is a big subject. There's all types of shadow people. I know the house that we live in, I haven't seen them in a long, long time, but I know we would be in the kitchen and we've got a long hall. It looks like a bowling alley going down. You can ask Jessica and Kobe. They've seen our house. Looks like a little bowling alley lane where you throw the bowling ball up. It's long. I know there's been times when we would be in the kitchen and start up that hall and see shadow, well, I don't know if it was people or if it's the same one, but a shadow person darting from the hall into whichever bedroom it was closest to. And it wasn't a caught out of the corner of my eye thing. It was saw straight on. Just a glimpse, though. It's nothing that stood there for a minute. You just looked up and poof, off it went into another room that had a human shape. And probably the height of a human, maybe 6 foot something. Also, Michael and I have been in our bedroom here, and it hasn't happened since we've been living back here. We've been living back here, what, 2 years?
A little over 2 years
maybe
now.
Maybe going over on 2 years.
Yeah.
And when we lived here before, we had a shadow figure that would peep around in our room. We'd look up and we'd catch its head, and then I mean you couldn't see any eyes, nothing but shaped like a head. It would peep around in our bedroom and then pop back out when it saw us looking. I wonder why they don't want us to see them. I mean, Some of them. Because a lot of people report just catching glimpses of shadow people from the corner of their eyes.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Go ahead.
I said a lot of people do. They just catch a glimpse. You know, they see it in their peripheral vision on the side. It's just usually really fast. And they don't understand what they've seen.
So, yeah, you know, I've always wondered if those shadow people are like the dark part of our psyche and we don't actually see it because we really shouldn't. It's the part of us we don't want to see.
I don't know if that's, you know, the case or not. It could possibly be, but, you know, there's been so many reported sightings of shadow people. I've seen shadow people in investigations.
Yes, I have too.
The first run-in I had with shadow people was actually at Waverly Hills, so I've seen them too.
Yeah. Yeah, Waverly Hills, you know, is well known for the shadow people activity.
The craziest thing is it's either the second or third floor hallway to the rooms. When you take the mini tour, and it's like a $20 or $25 hour-long tour where they walk you through the building and walk you to the hot spots, they take someone that's a volunteer and walk them down that hallway by themselves and have them turn around with their arms out. And you can feel those shadow people running around you. So I took my unsuspecting sister and made her volunteer.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, really the full story of shadow people. I know what I think. I don't think they're normal, everyday spirits that people encounter. I think, you know, they're a little bit on the rare side, but they're commonly seen. But I think, you know, shadow, as we call them, shadow people, I think their whole makeup is a little bit different than what we really understand or comprehend.
So you don't think they're ghosts of people who have passed on? You think they're different?
Yeah, I think they might be a little bit different because, you know, the as many of, you know, people as reported seeing, as many as I've seen over the years, as many as you've seen, Destiny, over the years. Normally, when you encounter a spirit that's forming, a lot of times they won't completely form. You only see half of them, or, you know, they'll be all there, but their feet or legs. And these shadow people are usually...
I've always been taught that's classified as possibly demonic.
True. And a lot of people think shadow people are demonic.
Yeah, well, see, I don't know, because I never felt any harm from the one that we saw here at the house. Now, it's been a long, long time since we've seen it, but I never felt any harm from it. I actually felt like it was a protector, if that makes sense at all, because never did anything try to harm us here.
Well, I'll throw it out there. Do you think maybe a shadow person may be some type or form of a elemental?
I don't know. I really don't know. And then you've got to think about, are they interdimensional?
True.
Or alien?
There we are. There's a lot of people that believe they're aliens.
I mean, they possibly could be. I've never seen a UFO. Something I would say that definitely was not an aircraft, definitely was not a drone, anything like that. But I would like to have the experience. I would love to see one. I would love to have that alien experience.
I would love to go to Roswell. Not Roswell, Georgia. That's boring.
Roswell, Georgia.
And maybe a little overcrowded, too. But, yeah, you know, I Roswell, New Mexico. Yeah, that would be something else. area.
I've read over the years, you know, there's been a, I guess, you know, here in this state, Missouri, they've reported a lot of UFO sightings over the years.
Right. Kobe, have you ever seen a UFO?
I have not. I would love to.
We're going to have to go somewhere UFO hunting sometime.
That'd be so much fun.
It really would. Where would we go? I want to see one. I want to see something I can't explain.
Wherever we go, we need to take cameras.
You know, here's the thing. And I'm always telling the team, okay, Addie, we're not going outside right now. Go tell Pawpaw, my dog. I'm sorry.
She oh, Addie.
When she wants to go outside, she thinks she has to go right then and there. I forgot what I was going to say because Addie was licking my toes, wanting me to take her outside.
We were talking about taking pictures and going UFO hunting.
So I'm always big on telling, okay, we need to video everything. I mean, from the time we get to an investigation till the time we leave, whether it's cell phone, night vision camera, any kind of camera we've got. Michael's got that GoPro camera. I mean, we have cameras. We need to record everything. I would be the one that would be so fascinated at what I was seeing, I would not think to do it.
That's the good thing about the GoPro. The GoPro, you could strap on and set it, you know, to automatic. So it just automatically takes pictures.
Well, Michael, you're from North Carolina. Have you ever heard of the Brown Mountain Lights, or is it Black Mountain Lights?
Yeah, I think it's Black Mountain Lights.
Is that like the Mako Lights or something?
No, it's these lights just form in the sky up in the mountains.
Oh. Well, we need a cabin up in those mountains.
It's actually not that far from my house. I want to say it's only like 2.5 hours from where I live.
Okay, book us a room. As soon as Michael gets home, we're on that.
We need to just take an RV.
Yes. Well, you know,
Stan, our producer here, he's from North Carolina too. Stan and I grew up one county apart.
And never met. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
Now, I had another experience with a shadow person. And this has been a few years ago. Michael and I lived on Hayes Mill Road in Carrollton. Okay. I was home alone. And we lived in a three-story house. It was huge. But we had a lot of family living with us. So we rented a big house. So everybody could be together. It was me, Michael, my sister, two of my nieces, my daughter lived there, and it was so big, everybody had a bedroom. It was good. When you went out the back door was a huge carport. Off the carport was a screened in porch over there that Michael and my sister actually screened in for us. And the laundry room was to the right. I was coming out of the laundry room there one day, and I looked way down at the other end of the carport, and I saw the shadow person. To be honest with you, to describe what it looked like, if you could picture a shadow of Jack Sparrow, honestly, that's what it looked like. I mean, it looked piratey, but I saw color on it. I remember there was a blue sash around the waist. Now, come on, that's Carrollton, Georgia. No pirates were ever in Carrollton, Georgia. And I have no clue. And it wasn't that split image.
Porch pirates.
It wasn't that, that we've got a lot of those around here. But it wasn't that just split second. I stood there and looked at it. And it was almost as if it was looking back at me. And I never knew what that was. But my sister had been telling me, hey, there is a shadow person that walks around in the backyard. You would just have to know my sister. We never took her serious. And so when I saw that, I'm like, Michael, do you think that may be what she's been seeing in the backyard? He said it could be. So, I mean, I can't explain that. I really can't. But it was Shadow with the blue sash. But I could tell it had on the hat that I would say was a pirate's hat shape. I just don't know what it was.
You know, it's funny that you describe it that way, because about 15 years ago, my mother, who also lives in North Carolina, bought a used mobile home. And the first time I walked in there, it just felt icky. And it wasn't dirty. Like, it was a clean, it was the atmosphere in there. There was just something off. And so I blessed the house. Well, a few days later, she calls me and she was freaking out really bad. She told me there was a shadow person in her car. She believed that when I blessed the house, whatever it was, got pushed out into the yard, it got in her car. And the way she described it was of looking like Peter Pan, like the shape of Peter Pan.
Yes.
So I blessed her car and it went away and there was no more Peter Pan shadow person. But she truly believed
Peter Pan too, in a way. But mine was a little more piratey looking, more like the pirate in Peter Pan, but just the shadow outline. But it did have color. I remember seeing color around its waist.
The phenomenon is strange because it's not just like regional. It's not like an American thing that we're seeing Shadow Man. He's seen all over the world by all kinds of different people of different cultures and religions. It's like trans anything that we have labeled, it just everybody sees him. And no, I mean, not everybody sees him, but like every culture, every denomination, every type of person in every group, there's people that have seen Shadow Man. And he comes with different descriptions. You know, some people refer to like the Slender Man type thing that was viral on the internet a few years back, or the man in the hat is another explanation of what he looks like, and people see the man in the hat, it's like a man in a suit. But the looking kind of piratey explanation is also one of the pretty common ones. Like he kind of reminded me of a pirate.
Well, and then there's the top hat.
Yeah, that's Hat Man.
Yes. Now,
I mean, people report him along with sleep paralysis. And I'm not talking about like medically diagnosed sleep paralysis, like somebody that's never experienced sleep paralysis and doesn't have a neurological condition that can cause that. Sometimes has the experience of seeing the Hat Man and feeling like they're being held down in bed at the same time. And psychologists try to explain that away, but I'm not real sure that they can.
Right. I was reading up on that just minutes before we went on. But regardless what the Shadow Man is, I mean, like you said, everybody has seen one. And at times he's described different, but it's still the same. No facial features. Some people describe it as a dark mass. But the ones I saw were human shaped.
My grandmother totally believed that they were demonics. Like, she believed that if it was a shadow, that was something that was demonic and you should be really careful. And I'm not saying it's not something that's dark or dangerous, because it could be.
Well, I may have said I've never had a negative experience with one, but one just came to my mind. The building next door to my house, there's been one seen there. I forgot all about that. Matter of fact, Big Ronnie Britt, which we all call him Bubba, was over there in the building next door one time and absolutely called us. This is when we lived in Temple. He said, y'all got to get over here. Destiny, you've got to get here right now. Now, Bubba's a big man. I mean, he's what, 6'3", 6'4", maybe? If he's not, it seems like it when you look up to him.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He really is tall, just strong looking. And the thing about it is, when we got here, he was sitting on the back of his truck and would not go back in the building. He said that a shadow person chased him out of there. He was genuinely afraid.
So I've been in the building next to your house many times.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that I've experienced in there is the giggles of a little child.
Yes, she makes herself known.
And she's fine. We found handprints on the glass. My daughter and I did.
Yeah, I was just telling Michelle about that yesterday. And she said, I don't doubt it. Because we've all got pictures of it. Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of people's heard the giggling in that building.
Yes.
Yeah. One night we were all over there and just, it was like something bounced off the walls. Still don't know what that was. And then we heard the little girl giggling. I mean, to the point where we went out looking. We looked in every room trying to find out. I mean, Mr. Dewey was thinking, okay, somebody's squatting in the church. There's a big room up in, it is a church, by the way. There's a big room up in the top up there. And in his mind, he's, okay, somebody's up there. They're actually up there squatting. So he goes up there. There's nobody there. The only people who were there were in one room together. And nobody giggled.
So the Kobe's sound heard
several times.
The sound you're talking about sounded like something bounced off the ball. Did it remind you of when you played dodgeball as a kid and you got hit in the head with one of those rubber balls?
Oh, the bouncing around? It was a sound.
That's what I'm saying, though. The sound those rubber balls made when you would kick them or hit them, the rubber balls that they used to give us in gym to play dodgeball with.
It's hard to describe what that sound was. And the sound, it sounded like it came out of one of the speakers. It was like a big energy ball you could not see. Just telling you what it felt like. And it made a noise as it ricocheted off the wall. It would be on the left where Dewey sits. It ricocheted off of there, hit another spot on that wall, and then it's like you could hear it zoom through the air.
So I mean, I had a client.
Am I having it right, Michael? I mean, I'm trying here. It's just hard to describe.
Yeah, that's pretty close what it sounded like. I know what Jessica's saying, too, because I remember playing dodgeball in school.
Yeah, yeah.
And, it's similar to that sound. It's that rubber ball, you know, when you kick it.
So I've been in that church in the dark alone. I mean, just me and the kids. Like, it is a little bit creepy in there in the dark. And I'm not sure if that's because there's actually something watching you or because you know that somebody could drive by on the street and they could see you, because those doors open up into that glass door out there. And if you're in there with the lights on, people can see you.
Yeah, that's true.
The giggling sure is a real thing. Like I have heard that. Now I have not heard that noise, but my daughter Alex described the sound that she heard something in there that sounded like the ball in gym class when it hits your foot when you're kicking it. And that's why I was asking that, because she's heard something.
Interesting. No,
I've seen a shadow person in that building.
Well, I haven't had that experience yet, but when I do, I'm going to rebuke it.
But it's been pretty bad. This
one is negative. It's been seen in the corner of the building. A lot in the left corner. If you're walking in through the building over to the left in the back, it's been seen there. That was kind of its hangout. And to be honest with you, that part of the building would stay dark and shaded. It's not
like
that.
Is that the storage room?
No, inside the sanctuary part. That back corner, it used to be like that. But I mean, It's not like that anymore. But that back corner used to stay shaded, like no light was hitting back there. When the lights were on, it'd be like that one little corner, no light could hit it. And that's where you would see him, is in that
Yeah.
corner.
That's where I've seen him at, is in that corner.
I've seen him before also in there.
Yeah, Kobe, where did you see it at?
It was in the corner. Very quick. I mean, if you're not watching, you won't see him because he's quick. It's there and then gone.
Yeah, it is very quick. I agree with Kobe on that.
Makes you wonder why they move so fast.
I think it's because they're in a totally different time than we are. I mean, when we see them, maybe we're seeing them in their dimension, and with time moves differently, so it's a lot faster to us.
This makes me think of that Stephen King book, The Langoliers, where these people like fly through, I guess, part of Aurora Borealis and end up in a different dimension where the time is old. Like it's what happens to time after you've passed.
Right, and they have to get out of there before it's erased.
Right.
I saw it. They were in an airplane.
Yeah, they at the beginning. And anybody that was awake when it traveled through the dimension just disappeared. It's the craziest thing. You know,
Stephen King is
I had a
scary.
client that called me up one day, and her son was having the experience of the Hat Man and the paralysis. And so I went out there and we did an investigation, and I didn't get anything. I didn't even, I can come up empty-handed, no EVPs or anything. But I did get to the conclusion that he'd been playing with a little of that dark Santeria. I was like, well, you know, when you play with darkness, darkness might come after you. So you need
Right.
to not be doing that. So we
Right.
gave the house a good blessing, and it stopped. But I kind of wonder, you know, sometimes are people doing things to invite it?
Exactly. And we had a couple of team members once. They got obsessed with a piece of paranormal equipment and would leave it on just to hear it talk during the day. Or at night. I mean, it was really an obsession. And I kept telling them, okay, when you get something in here that's dark and bad, I'm not coming to help you. And I mean, time went on, and they kept doing this. Well, there came that time when something dark finally was released into their home, and I wouldn't go and help them. You know, if you don't heed the warnings, I mean, don't expect me to come and help you. And I didn't. I have regretted that decision a lot, but sometimes it's the only way that you can really teach people, hey, you know, bad things can happen if you dabble with dark stuff. Been
Well,
there.
you
I've
know.
done this. I have done this. I have dabbled in some stuff that brought something very negative into my home, into my life, to the point where it took us bringing an apostle from the Bahamas to this property to get rid of it. It wasn't something that we could get rid of overnight. It was bad. It was dark and bad. I'm not going to tell what I did, but you, I know I'm. Me and a friend of mine are to blame for this entity coming into our home, to our property. No doubt in my mind. It was our stupidity that done it. And this was before the paranormal team, before I was investigating the paranormal. I had nobody to turn to. I knew nothing about it. So you have to be careful.
So my
Yeah,
daughter, they were playing with a Ouija board, not in my house. I would have strung someone up, but at a friend's house, and they had an experience where something came in that was dark, and it stayed. And she wouldn't go over there anymore. She was so scared. And so that was the lesson in not playing with that kind of thing for her. Some people have to have that hard lesson. I warned her.
Right.
That's all you can do is warn people. I mean, but, you know, that's why we don't use any paranormal equipment in our house, because when you think about it, a Ouija board is just another form of communication. We don't use the K2s in the house. If we hear something or witness something, we just sort of ignore it and say, all right, then you need to go, kind of thing, you know, because I don't want to start any open lines of communication with anything here.
We have
because
a
can in our house. Other things in.
My kids really, at first, when we first bought this house, and they realized that there was a spirit here, they really wanted to investigate it. And I was like, oh, no, that's not happening. Well, why? And I was like, well, we don't open lines of communication with things we have to live with.
Exactly.
Because for right now, she's just a little old lady that pops in and hums to the baby right now. But if we open a line of communication, it's not going to be able to be closed.
Yeah, it's not good to do that at all.
No, you never want to do that in your own home. Never.
Now, we did an investigation on this house one time. We caught some, we did not live here at the time. And, but we did come in and investigate it. It was a one time thing. And that's why I don't like using the portal too much at a client's house, because when they ask questions about it and you tell them that you're using the Necrophonic app, then they want the app too. And then they become obsessed with it because in their minds, they're communicating with the spirits there, not fully realizing you're pulling more in than what you already have. You need to stop.
Some of the clients don't understand that, as we've seen in the past.
Okay, we're going to go to a break right now, but we'll be back. We hope you catch the second half of the show.
Are you bothered by those blood-sucking, seductive jerk faces? New by Churchies comes Vamp Away. Tired of not being able to go outside at night? Tired of waking up with puncture holes in your neck before a meeting, causing talk amongst your peers? Tired of waking up in a strange place, not knowing where you are? Get your 24-ounce spray bottle of Savior. Blessed by the local clergy, you will be saved by our newest formula of Vamp Away. A little dab on your neck, wrists, and special places will ensure you won't become a victim of your local vamp community. Long gone are the days when you're just a blood bag. For only $6.66, you too can repel the bloodthirsty pests and sleep peacefully at night. Call now, 1-800-VAMP-AWAY. Again, that number is 1-800-VAMP-AWAY.
Coming soon.
Deep South Paroc Comic-Con 2023.
Check out this amazing event that will have you laughing and screaming all at the same time.
This event has it all. From some cast members from The Walking Dead, workshops to help with psychic abilities, an oddities room, and even more. Not to mention the yummy food and amazing guest speakers. Don't miss out on this amazing paranormal experience. Get your tickets now as spaces are limited.
Don't forget the kiddos. It's a family-friendly event.
Deep South Para Comic-Con in Ozark, Alabama, August 19th and 20th, 2023. Visit www.deepsouthparacomiccon.com to get your tickets today.
Hey, guys. I am Marika Simon, your favorite paranormal researcher from the show Ripa Says. If you want to watch her season one, just go to Hulu, check the reality TV section, look for Ripa Says, and there you go. Our first full episodes are full of stories, haunted objects, and amazing people that we met in all of our journeys. Make sure to follow me on social media at Marika Gaga. I would love to connect with you. Tell me about your secret haunted objects that we need to investigate. Tell me about everything you want. And do not forget to tell your friends to watch Repossessed.
Are you looking for web design, press releases, blog posts, product descriptions, academic writing,
to cheat in class,
social media marketing,
and even logo design?
Don't worry, there's a lot more, but I'm not going to list them right here. You need to visit Arden Marketing Enterprises at arden-ent.com. That's arden-ent.com. Or if you would like to speak personally to the owner of Arden Marketing Enterprises, call Teresa Fikes at 334-648-1214. Again, Teresa Fikes at 334-648-1214. Get on it.
Have you thought about becoming a published author? Don't have time around work, school, or family? Let us do the work for you. Save time by allowing eWriter resources to work for you. You deserve the best online writing services available. Let us make your book and your dreams come true. Be a published author in 14 days when we custom ghostwrite your ebook. If you need an expert, allow us to handle your business writing and ebook. We are capable of creating ebook covers, websites, and all the content to go on it. Check us out at eWriterResources.com.
Simone, your favorite paranormal researcher from the show Ripa Says. If you want to watch her season one, just go to Hulu, check the reality TV section, look for Ripa Says, and there you go. Our first full episodes are full of stories, haunted objects, and amazing people that we met in all of our journeys. Make sure to follow me on social media at Marika Gaga. I would love to connect with you. Tell me about your secret haunted objects that we need to investigate. Tell me about everything you want. And do not forget to tell your friends to watch Repossessed.
And we're back.
And we're talking about things that go bump in the night.
And I love things that go bump in the night.
Yes.
Well, I take a sleeping pill, so if things go bump in the night, chances are I'm not going to hear them. I am a bad insomniac. I can't sleep. The longest I've been up without taking anything was 2 full days, a little over 48 hours. So if I don't take something to make me sleep, I don't go to sleep.
So I saw this meme the other day, and it was Vincent Price, you know, old horror movies, Vincent Price. And it said, how to get me to go anywhere. And it said, there will be food and drink and ghosts. I'm like, that's so me.
Or the little, I've seen the little picture of a van that says free ghost equipment. And it's like supposed to be a van where people will abduct you. Michael would get abducted.
I'd climb right in too.
They would get Michael.
I'm looking down the storm drain at Pennywise, and he's like, I've got an EMF detector. All right, Pennywise, I'll be down in a minute.
Yeah, so let's see what's going on down there.
Yeah, I think, though, my favorite piece of equipment is just a voice recorder. To me, that is the most legit evidence that you can get with any piece of equipment, hearing something for yourself.
I'll tell you what, they're not all made the same. When we went to Poly Jail, I used one that my sister had given me that she got off of Amazon, and that was the worst voice recorder I've ever used. I really just prefer my Sony voice recorder over anything else.
Yeah, we've got a big little case full of them, and we're talking about all these recorders are like $130. But I had one, and it was, I loved it. It was an Olympus, an older Olympus. That thing was so sensitive. When you downloaded the file from it to go back and listen to EVPs, you didn't have to dig this stuff up and enhance it. It was there. Either it was there or it wasn't. It was amazing. It was even in my car. We had our car stolen once. I had just bought a brand new Nissan Altima. And we'd went on an investigation. And all of our equipment, everything that we owned was in the trunk of this car. It got stolen right out of our driveway. All the equipment still in there. And we had an investigation the coming weekend. And it was a pretty big investigation. And we were like, oh, my God, what are we going to do now? I think we ended up canceling the investigation. But they did find the car. And so the police officer that called, I had a wooden box that I call it my toolbox. Inside my toolbox, there was some crystals, some sage, holy water, just all kind of stuff in here. And it's what I use when I do a deliverance on a property, a home, or sometimes people, or just a house cleansing, anointing oil, frankincense, anointing oil, everything was in there. The police officer, when I called him to describe everything that belonged to us in the car, he said, what is all this stuff in the trunk of the car? And I said, he said, it's surveillance equipment. And we're going to have to clear to make sure you were not in on this theft. And I'm like, well, okay, yeah. I said, well, we're paranormal investigators. And all that equipment is what we use when we're hunting ghosts. He said, can I ask you one more question? And I said, sure. He said, what is in that box? The box was made, and it was a gift to me. A Haitian witch doctor made this box, and it's like a little cedar chest like thing, and it has carvings in it. It's just a beautiful box. I love it. And I said, that's what I do to get rid of ghosts. He said, I don't want to know anymore. Well, we went and we retrieved everything. My Olympus recorder was nowhere to be found. And I was panicking. I was like, there's one thing missing that I had in there. And he said, what might that be? And I said, an Olympus voice recorder. He said, oh, we've got that. We've got that. We didn't know that was part of your equipment. And he didn't, because it was in the console of the car. Why it was in the console, I don't remember, but it was there. But they mailed it to me, and I was so happy. I hated the day that I had to actually bury this recorder. It was the best thing ever.
So it's very likely that that Olympus voice recorder was actually part of a dictation system at some point that they used, to dictate letters and an office, maybe a law office or whatever, because my old boss had one, and that's how he dictated letters and legal documents to us. And there was a couple times, because that house that his office is in, there's some activity. There's a ghost cat in that house, and there's some things you can feel looking at you. But there was EVPs sometimes in the dictation. Like when I would be going back and typing, I'd be rewinding it, listening to what was said, because there was EVPs in there in the dictation.
Yeah, they're very sensitive recorders.
This one was. It was amazing. I wish I could find another one.
I like my old Zoom. My Zoom was very sensitive too, and it was easy to retrieve your recordings.
Yeah, it is. It records in 360. And I have looked at voice recorders on Amazon too. There are some pretty nice ones out there now. The one I'm particularly looking at is $249. I've got it saved in my cart, so when the price goes down, I'll get an alert on it.
So the one I'm talking about that she gave me before Polly Jill, and it was the funniest thing because the voice recorder that I had that was my Sony, that's good old faithful voice recorder, disappeared a few days before the investigation, and we looked all over the house for it. And so my sister gave me the one she had, which she had bought off of Amazon, and it was an unbranded, you know how there's a lot of unbranded stuff on Amazon, and it's just kind of chintzy. But a few days later, after the investigation, we found the Sony voice recorder in the baby's diaper bag. We don't have any clue how it got down in there, and it actually was with us in the car on the way. We dropped the baby off at my sister's, so the diaper bag stayed there. I was like, well, dang.
Well, that happens a lot here too. We'll be missing. I always thank my sister for it because she was always bailing me out. We'd lose something, she would find it. So now when something disappears and it comes back, I say, thank you, Nell. I appreciate it. I've even found my car keys in the oven before.
Be late. I put my phone in the freezer once.
Car keys, just looking, and find them in the oven. Now, why would my car keys be in the oven? But Dylan was about 3 or 4 at the time, so that's a possibility. Could have been my varmint son.
You know, we have the problem in our house, and we believe that it's the spirit that's here, where she just kind of plays tricks on us. My keys will be where they're supposed to be. I have a hook that I hang them on. I'll go look there, and they'll be gone. They're not there. I look all over the house for them. The kids are helping me look. Nobody can find my keys. And then we'll go, okay, Miss Joan, put the keys back, and we'll go back later and look, and they're there.
Yeah, we talked about that because we were talking about that movie with Nicole Kidman. She didn't know they were the guy.
It's called The Others.
Who kept taking the drapes off the windows.
Oh, that was a good movie, too.
It really was. I had seen it before. Michael had never seen it. So one night I found it was on TV and I said, you've got to see this movie. And I wouldn't give him any clues about it at all. What was going to happen and what was going on. Nothing. I told him nothing. I wanted to, but I never said a thing. He would ask questions. I'd be like, you're just going to have to watch and see.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good movie. It really was.
But it brings about a good point that we hadn't considered before, that is, what if they think we're the ghosts?
Exactly. Like, Michael has a friend. He can tell the story better than me. He walked in the bathroom or in the kitchen or something. And saw a family at the table eating a meal.
Oh, yeah. That was a paranormal investigator. He was investigating a home. And what he did was he walked into the kitchen area. And when he walked into the kitchen area, there's these two elderly people sitting at the table in the kitchen eating breakfast. They looked up at him and screamed. And then he screamed. And then when he ran out of the room and went back in, there was nothing in there. So it's almost like he had crossed over a timeline for a brief second when he walked through that doorway.
See, that's crazy. There's a lot of strange phenomena that we can't explain. That would be one of them.
Right.
Yeah, the story is so crazy. And, you know, there's something nobody could make up. So, you know, I believed what I was being told because the story was that crazy.
Well reality is always stranger than fiction. So, yeah.
We get told so many fascinating stories about the paranormal and a lot of stuff that your normal person would say, oh, bull crap. I don't believe that. We hear some stuff from some very credible people. You know, you have no reason not to believe what they say because they're that type person. We hear some good paranormal stories about people who have investigated different places. Just some phenomenal stories.
Yes, we have. We've heard some really good stories from different people. And we always enjoy getting them too. So, you know, it's nothing. Because, you know, sometimes like that one, they're so far-fetched, they almost have to be true.
Exactly. And you hear some
stories people just can't make up out of the blue.
Oh, have y'all seen the picture that was taken at Waverly Hills? Up on the upper floor, there's a picture of a child looking down. It's been all over Facebook the last couple of days. And, you know, that is not a faked photo because I can feel it. I can feel that is legitimately a spirit of a child that they caught looking down.
I'll is that on their Facebook page?
It may be on the Waverly. Yeah, I think it is on the Waverly Hills page. I mean, I believe with everything within me that this is a legitimate photograph of a child looking down. If I had to guess, I would say a female child.
Well, you know, they say that there's a little boy there named Timmy. And people have experiences with Timmy there. But I'd never heard tell of a girl spirit.
Yeah, let me look on Ernie Pack's page. I'm not seeing it here. But let me see if he put it on his page. I think I saw it. Something to do with Waverly.
I think there's been other photos of Waverly Hills that come out over the years similar to that, hasn't there?
And probably not as clear as this one. I'm looking for it. And of course, it's not going to show up anywhere. But I'm looking for it. Maybe it wasn't his.
I'm not seeing it on their page. I've gone all the way back to March 1st, so I don't think so.
No, this was just a couple of days it's been in. Excuse me. We were out just a little while ago, and since I got back home, my throat's all clogged up with pollen and stuff.
Oh, I hate pollen.
I'm going to send everybody this picture.
Oh, here it is. Ghosts of London?
Possibly. It's been shared by a lot of groups.
It's a child looking out of the solarium. Oh, that's crazy.
I've never been to Waverly Hills.
Yeah. I'll send it to Michael.
So, Michael, I would love to take you guys to Waverly Hills. Like, that's one of my favorite places to go.
Yeah, I would love to see that place.
Yeah, I'm going to send Michael the picture, and I'm going to send it to Kobe.
Yeah,
the feeling in it is almost overwhelming, though. Like, the first time you go there, I don't know if it's like all of the spirits or the size of the building, but it's almost overwhelming.
I've never been, and I want to go. Matter of fact, I'm going to start working on getting our team there.
We ought to do a live podcast from Waverly.
Yes.
Hey, I would be happy just pulling up there and being on the outside of Waverly. I mean, yeah. Because everybody says there's just an energy there that you can feel. When we went to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital the very first time, the entrance then, you had to go in through the old emergency room. We pulled up. It was me, Michael, and I think Pam in our car. And Pam's a former team member, one of my bestest friends in the world. And we pull into the emergency room, and I smelled alcohol, like rubbing alcohol, just overwhelming, just pulling up behind there at the emergency room.
So I would love to go to Old South Pittsburgh. That's somewhere I've not been.
And then they've got another hospital. Is it Harriman? We haven't been there. Now, I've spoke with Ron a few times, and he's mentioned that you guys need to come. So we're probably going to do that. I'd like to make a weekend of it and do both locations.
Where is it?
The other the next night.
Is it in Kentucky?
No, it's in Tennessee. 2 hours from our house, I promise. No more than three.
Okay.
And then we always, when we would go up there, the last couple of times that we went, we actually stayed at Hell's Bar Dam in one of their cabins. Like, the first time we went, we had like 12 people. No, that's when we investigated the dam. We had like 12 people staying in one big room, one room cabin. We had people on air mattresses everywhere. It was fun, though. And the reason we did that is it made it so affordable for the whole team to go. And, I mean, it wasn't bad because, you know, our team's like family. So it was just like staying in the house with your brothers and sisters and stuff.
It's like Thanksgiving with the family.
Yes.
Yeah, we've always made it like a camp out.
Yeah, it was fun. We had one team member go in the bathhouse out there, and there was a snake.
Yeah, I remember that.
So I stayed in a log cabin up in Sevierville, Tennessee, Pigeon Forge area a few years ago. And we had paranormal experiences, the friend that was with me, the whole night that we were there. And I would love to rent that place again and actually have some equipment. Because we had cabinets opening and doors slamming and all kinds of craziness going on. And we were both like, what in the world happened in this cabin?
No telling at all.
All around us.
Wait to get some places booked for our team to go and make it one everybody can go to. Everybody's work schedule now is so crazy for the team. It's hard to get everybody together. The only ones we've had been able to go to investigations here lately is Kobe and Jessica, and we are so thankful for them. It pays to have a good sized team because somebody's always available to go.
We got to make sure we got coverage.
Yes.
You know, one place that I have really wanted to go and do an investigation is in West Virginia. There's a couple places. There is a haunted amusement park in West Virginia that I would absolutely love to investigate. But the other one is what they call now Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, but it used to be Weston State Hospital, and it was a mental hospital in Weston, West Virginia. I bet there's some craziness going on there.
Is that the one that's been on TV? What do you call that? It's on my bucket list, and I can't remember the name of it.
Trans-Allegheny used to be a pretty famous spot.
Well, I have connections to Trans-Allegheny. My grandmother suffered from depression really bad. And, you know, in the 30s and 40s, they didn't treat that like they do now. They would take someone that suffered from depression, they would lock them in a psychiatric unit. So they put her in a mental hospital, and she ended up at Trans-Allegheny. So I had a family member that was actually there.
Wow. You know, back in them days, they would even consider menopause, you know, as mental illness and put them in there.
Oh, have you seen the list of what people would go in there for? Even if
disobeying their husband?
Yeah, if a woman backtalked her husband or didn't obey him, I'd be like,
woman, you crazy.
I would be in and out of there every other week.
You'd have to give me a frequent flyer card.
Yes. Well, I'm going to tell you, this is how I am. When Michael and I got married, Michael's cousin married us, and she pastors a church in LaGrange. And when we got married, I remember telling her, I need you to change the vows just a little bit. And she said, what do you mean change them? I said, I need you to take out the obey part for me. She said, take out the obey. I said, yes, because I plan on keeping my wedding vows. I said, and I don't want you to throw something in there that I know I can't keep.
This is a
true story. Ask Michael. It's a true story.
Yeah, it's a true story.
She took it right out of the vows.
It's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, I would not do that because I didn't want to say something that I knew I was not going to do. I'm not going to obey him. I mean, we'll talk about stuff, and if he has just concerns why I shouldn't do something, I'll consider taking his advice, but I'm not going to obey that man. And he won't obey me either. It's not a one-sided thing.
Well, I mean, that's not the way things work anymore anyway. Let's be real.
No.
No.
I mean, we talk about things, you know, and we talk it out, and then, but I'm just not going to obey him. And I'm probably not the only one that's ever asked for something to be taken out of wedding vows before. I'm sure other people have thought this through. But you can ask Michael. I'm very strict about if I make a vow to someone, or if I make a vow I'm going to do something, I'm not the type of person to bow out of that vow. I have to see it through.
I have a friend that got married, and she did not realize that the obey was going to be in her vows. And when the minister got to that part, she looked at him and she's like, what do you mean? In the middle of her vows. They had to skip over that part. She wasn't going to say it. Some of us just aren't obedient women.
Well, you know, that's old day stuff. But I mean, I respect him. He has my utmost respect. And when we first got married, I was the type, and this has nothing to do with paranormal, but we'll talk about it anyway. I love to show cleavage. I mean, probably more than I should have. And so I would put, it was fine up until we got married. Then all of a sudden it was a problem. And he would be like, where do you think you're going in that? And I'd be like, we're going out to eat. He said, baby, that's for my eyes only right there. And the way he put it, you know, made me change my mind about wearing a particular something. But he said it respectful to me. So I listened to him and I'll be like, well, okay, I can wear something else. But, you know, some husbands would have been like, oh, no, you go change right now. You're not leaving this house dressed like that.
And that approach gets me to say, I'm not a 15-year-old girl. Get in the car.
No, right?
You know what they say, well-behaved women rarely make history. So,
right.
On that note, I'm going to be famous someday.
Well, you know, I would really like to know more about shadow people, but I don't think anybody can tell you the whole story. Just getting back to the subject a little bit before we go. Let's all just start paying more attention to what's around us. You know, if you think you've caught something out of the corner of your eye, look a little harder. You know, I know that's what I do now. I've kind of trained myself. If I think I saw it, I'm going to keep looking to see if I can see it again. And I think we'd be surprised what we're really able to see when we're looking for it.
Well, society has conditioned us to believe that we're not seeing the things that we're seeing. And so you have to kind of fight against that conditioning and be like, no, I saw that and I want to see it again.
Yes. So we've got a lot of topics. I've talked to some people about being our guest on the show here as well. And I really love having Kobe on. Kobe needs to talk a little more, but we talk so much. He's just like, yeah, I'm here.
I'm here. I'm a listener.
He's a listener. He listens and learns. So we have an awesome team. Jessica and Kobe are right at the top of the list. All of our team members are at the top. Awesome paranormal investigators. You can find us at Fox Paranormal on Facebook. We have a page there. We'll also be posting our podcast. We're going to share it to all of our groups. We also, for paranormal teams, we have Fox Paranormal Advertising. And it's a little group that I made up, and it's where people can advertise about paracons, their teams. If you want likes on your page, just put the link up there and say, hey, guys, can you give us a like? We'll like your page. Podcasts, live streams, anything pertaining to paranormal. There is one little thing I've had to change. I do have to approve the post now because we were getting a lot of scammers posting stuff on there, and it came to my attention. And so I had to change things. I'm going to be making more administrators so that these posts can get approved sooner for you. Because with work, it's hard for me to go check and see if there's any posts that need approving. I think I approved one the day after the event, and I apologize for that. Also, I've got a fun little group that I haven't worked on here lately, but it's called the Paranormal Fox. That's where I post a lot of funny memes and stuff. Sometimes I'll do a poll on there. So make sure you go like Fox Paranormal on Facebook. Hey, and check out those two groups, the Paranormal Fox and Fox Paranormal Advertising. Fox Paranormal will be in Alabama at the Paracon. And I hope I said that right. I'm so bad at remembering this. With Stan and Teresa Fikes. They put on an awesome event last year. I was just bragging on it today to Jessica on the phone. In September, we're going to be in Sleepy Hollow, New York. Before that, we've got something coming up in June.
I want to go to Sleepy Hollow.
And that was Michael Yawn. He's been up since probably 4:30.
That wasn't me yawning.
Uh-oh. We got a ghost yawning.
I heard it, too.
I heard something.
I did, too. Was that you, Kobe?
Not me. No.
Okay. The ghost yawned. Was
it our producer?
He's usually muted. I don't know. Let me see. I doubt it. Mm-mm. Wasn't him. Strasburg, Virginia, June the 9th, 10th, and 11th. And then we're going to the Warren's Paracon in Connecticut in October. And I am so excited. I wanted to go last year, and I had some friends that would rub it in and send me pictures and stuff. But if you're in those areas, please come check us out. Come by and say hello to us.
I heard that Annabelle's going to be there. Is that true?
Yes.
I want to go.
Yes. I got to see Annabelle. Yes, I do. I have an Annabelle doll. I call her Lee Annabelle. She's named after Youngblood's wife, Leanne. Leanne was with us on the trip when Big Ronnie got that doll for me. Almost exact. Except she's missing an eye and the clothes are different. Other than that, she's from the same time frame as Annabelle. She's not haunted, thank goodness, but I do have her.
I mean, do we really need any more haunted dolls?
Oh, I've got some in my cabinet in the living room. I've got some in the kitchen. I've got some in my closet. They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
I need to invite you to that group where people are selling them.
You know, no wonder we have spooks in the house, all these haunted objects that we have.
Yeah, that probably may have something to do with it.
Might have a little bit to do with it at that.
Well, we'll wrap
it up here till next week. I appreciate Michael jumping on from Missouri. Lewis?
Until next week. I miss you too, baby.
I miss you, Jessica.
I miss you guys too. I can't wait to see you guys again.
I miss you, Kobe.
Miss you, Mama.
Miss you, Kobe.
Miss you.
Bye, Fox family.
Bye. Bye, sweetheart. Till next week.
All right.
Peace and love.